Preventing and Purging Sexual Sin on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I'm thrilled to have one of my wonderful friends, my former pastor, Brian Gaines. He serves as the pastor of counseling and biblical discipleship at Grace Community Church in Glenrose, Texas. He's a regular contributor to the CBCD.org regional training center of ACBC and has various resources on our website as well, which can be found on biblicalcounseling.com. Brian and his wife, Laura, just celebrated their 26th wedding anniversary, and they have four wonderful children, ages 7 to 20. The oldest, which is halfway through their supervision phase of being ACBC certified, he's raising them well, Brian. Good job, and I appreciate that. It's good to have you, brother, and talking about this issue, which is honestly it's so prevalent in our culture, the issue of sexuality. So welcome to the podcast today. Thanks for tackling a difficult topic.
It's good to be with you, Dale, and so appreciative of the ministry of ACBC.
Now, what makes ACBC go, just as a plug, is local churches like what we see down in Glenrose, Grace Community Church, and the work that they're doing in conjunction with a lot of the churches at, you know, the CBCD, one of our training centers down. That's just the beautiful collaboration that happens and that we see most fruitful around the nation and around the world. When churches are engaging in doing this type of ministry, both in training and this type of soul care within their churches, it's just an incredible thing. Out of that comes, you know, opportunities to minister in ways that our culture presents with this burgeoning issue of sexuality. And I want us to think about this well. So God obviously designed sexuality to be good. And sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, if so much sexual immorality is happening, you know, the sexuality thing must be bad. Well, no, it's good. It's designed by God. And this is something that we need to make sure that we understand very clearly. But the world certainly wants to turn upside down that design of God and really take what God has given as being something good and turn it upside down. And that's exactly what's happened in our culture. So I want you to speak to some of the misuses of God's gift of sexuality in regard to some of the issues that we're seeing today.
Sure, Dale. Yeah, I think as we move towards the misuse of sexuality, I think it's so important, as you mentioned, to go back to the proper use of sexuality. You know, as we consider Genesis 1 and 2, it's God who created a man and woman. It's God who created sexuality. It's God who brought them together, and they were to enjoy God there in the garden, and they were to enjoy each other. And there was no shame in doing so. They were naked and yet without shame. And yet, of course, we all know that the serpent came along and he offered counsel to them that was directly opposed to the counsel that the Lord had given them. He sought to deceive, ultimately to destroy, and Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord in eating of the forbidden fruit that they were not to eat of. And the result of that is, of course, what we know. Sin entered into the world. The curse of sin has infected all of life, including our sexuality. And so as we look throughout the scriptures and as we look at our world today, we see that in regards to sexuality, so many continue in sin, failing to take God at his word, that we might experience, for example, the beauty of God's good gift of sexuality as he intended it in the context of marriage. And so as we think about sexuality, it's goodness, but then also the misuse of it. Hebrews 13:4 is a passage that I just can't get away from. It says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled." Why? "For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." You know, I think going back to Genesis chapter 3, what did Adam and Eve do after they fell into sin? They began to play the blame game. You know, "It's your fault, God, you gave me this woman. It's the serpent's fault." And today, in regards to sexual sin, people would rather not take ownership and look to the Lord in repentance, but oftentimes continue to blame if he or she would not have, or "It's that cell phone that was in my pocket that made me sin." And so certainly the gift of sexuality is from God, and our sexuality is to honor God. And I think one other key passage as we think about sexuality, how it's to be set apart unto the Lord, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." And then what he says after that isn't necessarily what I would have expected. "Your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." Not that you abstain from sex, because sex, by God's design in the context of marriage, in loving God, in loving your spouse, is a good and wonderful thing, but that you abstain from any perversion of that, from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor.
What you just described, I think, is so critical. And I love the way that you're, even in your description, you're teaching our people how to read the Bible and read it well. What the Bible is saying, sanctification is God's will for our life. And what this looks like is not falling into sexual immorality. It's actually abstaining. It's pursuing that which God says is good by his design. Now, what we see happening in our culture is certainly a less than desirable picture of sexuality. It's certainly not by God's design. And so many people are falling prey, maybe with the increased opportunities, as you mentioned, cell phones in our pocket and whatnot. So many ways that we fall into sexual sin or temptation that's so prevalent in the day in which we live. Help us to understand maybe some of the pathways, people recognizing early on some of the temptations that people might experience in a downward spiral toward experiencing sexual sin.
So obviously we live in a world that loves and offers all sorts of instant gratification and fleeting pleasures. But Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so we ultimately do what we do in proportion to what we desire, to what we love, to what we're worshiping. We pursue what we pursue because we think it will bring about the greatest fulfillment, the greatest satisfaction, perhaps the greatest contentment. And so why do people engage in sexual sin? Well, there is something they are wanting, and they're willing to sin in order to get it. But this completely violates the highest calling that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us in Matthew 22:37. Where he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then likewise, you are to love your neighbor as yourself." And so obviously in loving God wholeheartedly and in loving others, there is no place in our lives for sexual sin. I think that so many engage in sexual sin, ultimately when it comes down to it, because the love of Christ is not ruling their hearts. I love the passage 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, where the Apostle Paul there writes, "For the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ constrains us. It compels us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all and therefore all have died. And he died for all that we might no longer live for ourselves." What is sexual sin? It's living for ourselves. It's not living for the glory of God. It's not living for the good of other. It's living for ourselves. And he died for us that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died and was raised.
What a grace when you think of what Christ has done to free us, to give us liberty, not to be bound in that sinful pattern, not to be bound in that never-ending cycle of regret and despair. What a grace of the Lord to think of that and to be compelled. I'd use that passage all the time in teaching and counseling. And it's one of the most critical ways of thinking, but you're talking about a paradigm shift. And, you know, at our recent ACBC conference, you had an opportunity to give a couple of breakouts. You were talking about John Bunyan and helping us to understand his Pilgrim's Progress, counseling themes that we see there. You also taught on this subject, preventing and purging sexual sin. You know, the Puritans, one of the things they were really good at, Bunyan particularly, is helping us to get to the issue of the heart. And when we combine these two concepts, right, the Puritans' ability to get to the heart, using the scriptures to get to what was really happening in the inner man that's leading to this outward projection of sin and immorality, they're addressing this issue in the heart. So I want you to use the concepts from Bunyan maybe to help us, or from the Puritans to help us to get to the heart of dealing with and preventing sexual sin.
Yeah, and so I think it's interesting that Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress back in the 1600s, before we were born. And it's a great reminder of the timeless truth that we find in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there is no temptation which is not common to man. And this includes sexual temptation. And so Bunyan, in his allegory of the Christian life in The Pilgrim's Progress, gives two very vivid instances related to how to, in essence, prevent or purge sexual sin in our lives. And the first example is when Christian and Faithful have met up and they're recalling God's goodness to them and their journey up to that point. And Faithful talks about being seduced by a woman by the name of Wanton. And Wanton pressured Faithful to turn aside with her, promising him all kinds of pleasure and contentment. And yet we see, as with Joseph, when pressured by Potiphar's wife, Bunyan writes that Faithful fled from her. And so we rejoice in that. But he doesn't leave it there. He gives us immediately another encounter with one. And this one is called the old man. And the old man is known as Adam the First, and he's from the town of Deceit. And so as Faithful encounters Adam the First, the old man, he offers him, he invites for Faithful to come join him at his house, where he'll be able to enjoy all the delicacies that the world could offer. And then Adam the First even goes on to suggest that Faithful should marry his three daughters, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And though Faithful says, at first I was inclined to go with him to his house and to enjoy his three daughters, he then saw on the old man's forehead these words, "Put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man." And so Faithful again fled, and yet he was quickly overtaken by one who had the power to knock him out with one blow. And on first read, I was like, what in the world? He fled. Good. Praise the Lord. And yet, had he really totally, fully fled? And so who is Bunyan talking about that had such power to knock him out with one blow? Well, of course, we know, as we continue to read and as we know the scriptures, it was none other than Moses, who represents our condemnation under the law. And so when Faithful came to, after being knocked out with just one blow, he asked Moses why he had treated him in this way. And Moses said that it was because of Faithful's secret inclination towards Adam the First. And while Faithful had fled wanton and had fled Adam the First and the temptation of marrying his three daughters, what did Jesus say in Matthew 5:27? Everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so Bunyan is teaching us, though, that Faithful had fled from wanton. He had fled from Adam the First and his three daughters. In his heart, he hadn't altogether fled. And as the law says, he deserved condemnation. And so Bunyan thus writes that Moses continued to beat Faithful until he lay as one dead. And then when Faithful comes about, he cries to Moses for mercy. And yet what does Moses say? I don't know how to give mercy. And so Moses continued to beat him and would have made an end to him, as Bunyan wrote, until one, capital O, one came by and ordered him to stop. And then Christian asked Faithful, who was this one that came by? And Bunyan said, it is the one with holes in his hands and his side. And so what was Bunyan teaching us here? To truly prevent and purge sexual sin from the heart and behavior, we must know the one with holes in his hands and in his side. And so according, going back to 1 Corinthians 10:13, it is Christ alone who can deliver us from sin, both from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and by his grace, from the present of sexual sins within our hearts.
Man, so good. And, you know, I can't help but think about those who are listening right now who are feeling the blow of Moses consistently. They've engaged in sexual sin. They're giving their minds to these things consistently. They know what the commandments say. They know what the word of God calls them to, and yet they're feeling condemnation consistently, and rightfully so. But describe, what hope do you give to them or counselors engaged with them to offer some practical help and hope in engaging in battle, in purging and preventing sexual sin?
And so certainly we want to help them move towards having a heart that's controlled by the love of Christ rather than lust. And so those struggling with sexual sin, I encourage them to get involved in meaningful biblical accountability, to help them develop a strategically biblical battle plan to keep the heart for Christ and from sin. John Bunyan, we've talked about Pilgrim's Progress, but he also has another book that I think is almost equally as good called The Holy War, which is the allegory of Satan's assault upon man's soul or the heart. And Satan has a strategic plan to attempt or to assault our heart. And so you mentioned at the ACBC conference in your opening session, which was so good, on John Flavel's Keeping of the Heart, his book, Keeping the Heart. And Flavel said in there that if Satan wins the heart, he wins all. And Flavel then went on to say, alas, how easy a conquest is a neglected heart. And so as we're working with those who have struggled with sexual sin, oftentimes they've fallen into it because they were, as with David was, he was idle. And in that idleness, it was much easier for him to engage in sexual sin. And so we want to help them develop a battle plan to be pure in heart and behavior. And so what might that look like? What might some components of that be? How might we help them think through this and work towards that? And I think, of course, at the top that we've already mentioned is to prize the gospel and to do so daily. We want to get them into the word and out of the world. We want to get the world out of their heart and the love of Christ in their heart. And so we do that by taking them to key passages that help them to meditate upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is for them, who they are in him, and all the implications of the gospel for them. And so certainly key passages to memorize those, to study those, to meditate upon those. And then also, in addition, I like to encourage those especially struggling with sexual sin, but to be in a devotional book that will just help them daily, intentionally, systematically consider the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some resources I often recommend in the counseling ministry. We mentioned John Flavel, so I'll bring that up in the Fountain of Life. So good, talking about Christ and his person and who he is. Another great one, short little reads, a Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent. You know, the gospel is not just for our salvation or justification, but also has every implication upon our sanctification. And that's so good to help them think through. And one I've used in more recent years by Brian Hedges called Christ Formed in You, The Power of the Gospel for Personal Change. And I think it's vital that we help people look to Christ each day. And of course, we help people look to Christ through his word and resources to help us do that. But ultimately, they need to do so in absolute humility and dependence upon him. And we do that through prayer. And so we want to encourage them to daily pray as they open the word, that they would behold the Christ of the scriptures and that they would know experientially the power of the gospel that's able to help them to truly transform into the image, be conformed in the image of Christ. And so I might encourage them to memorize and then to pray verses like Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I would encourage them to memorize and pray Psalm 119, 36, and 37. Incline my heart, not to pornography, not to sexual sin, but incline my heart to what is good, to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. What is pornography? It's worthless. In fact, it's far worse than worthless. It's destructive. It's deadly. And then the prayer continues, and give me life in your ways. And there's only life in Christ. And the path of that is found through his word. And so encourage them to cry out to God daily in prayer. And then also, as they do so in the word and prayer, to help them be surrounded by other mature believers that would help them to live in light of the gospel, in light of Ephesians 5, 15, and 16, where a gospel response is to make the best use of time. Sexual sin is not the best use of time. It's not a good use of time. It's an unholy use of time. And so as part of that ongoing accountability and encouragement, we want to help others to put off impure thoughts with thoughts that are excellent, thoughts that are praiseworthy, and then to go practice these things according to Philippians 4, 8 and 9, and to do so for the purpose, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do, to do all for the glory of God. And so part of helping those, you know, especially as I'm thinking about men who have struggled with sexual sin, is to help them understand what it means to be a true man, what it means to be God's kind of man. And of course, the perfect picture of that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so one resource we've been using in the context of our local church, a great book by Chris Mueller called Let the Men Be Men. In fact, just this past Sunday, I was working through chapter 4 with a young group of guys, and to my knowledge, none of them are entangled in sexual sin, but they certainly know the importance of keeping their heart, that they will not be. And so we talked about Titus 2:2 there in the context of chapter 4 of Let the Men Be Men. And there, Paul wrote to Titus that they are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. And so we want to help men not just put off the things that shouldn't characterize them, but to become like the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sober-minded, dignified, and self-controlled. And to help them then think through, what do each of those words mean? What are the implications of that upon your life? And how can I help you pursue that and pray for you and encourage you accordingly?
I love the way that you're describing. I want to highlight one thing is you're not describing a passive defense against sexual sin. What you're describing is an active pursuit of something that wards off the temptations of sexual sin. And that's so important that we understand pursuing Christ in the ways that you're describing. Absolutely critical. I was just having a discussion, Brian, with my students a couple of weeks ago, and this topic came up. And one of the things that I told them when you said, you know, one of the things that guys struggle with a lot is idleness. And in that idleness, we're so tempted. And, you know, one of the things I was encouraging them, like, if you can stop being idle, go learn to serve somebody else, because most of the time you're going to fall into these types of temptations when you think about you. And if you're serving someone else, if you're loving God well and you're learning to love others well and you're going to serve other people, you're not being idle and you're not thinking about you. And that's one of the most critical things that we can learn to do as people is go do what God intended to serve other people. You're not sitting around idle, being passive, just waiting on temptation to happen, wondering if you're strong enough when those times arise. Go pursue the day in the way God intended us to live and pursue, giving ourselves for the sake of others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate the things that you're describing and so much richness to what you're describing here, and very practical. And so I pray that our people will go back and listen to this over and over again. We'll put some of the resources there in the show notes. And Brian, thank you for being with us and walking us through how to purge and prevent sexual sin.
Thanks, Dale. We're all on this journey together.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. I know you're not counting, but we're counting here at ACBC. I cannot believe this is such an amazing thing that we are at the 550th episode of this Truth and Love podcast. So if the podcast has been helpful to you in some way, we would love for you to go to your platform, whatever you listen to the podcast on, and leave us a rating and a review. This would help our podcast and its visibility for others who are looking for help with the many topics that we cover here on the Truth and Love podcast. So I want to thank you all for being consistent listeners, for enjoying this resource with us. We want this podcast to be practical and accessible to any who are looking for help in counseling. So please, if you're able, would you leave us a rating to help improve the reach of our podcast? And as always, you can visit our website to find out about the many things that we're doing and all of our resources at biblicalcounseling.com.